Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'm going to continue what I started in this Sunday before last. And the week before yesterday, Saturday, I'm working on this particular message about where to go with it after I preached it the last Sunday. Actually, it was a week yesterday, and I received some bad news. And I told Sister Jody that I was going to talk about this. I did tell you that, didn't I? So, a lot of you remember, or maybe some of you remember, her ex-husband, Steve. When Jody first started coming here, God had been dealing with her about getting back right with God. And God sent her here, and we loved her, and still do. And she talked about her husband, and said he needed to be right with God. So I said, you pray and I'll pray. We'll just see what God does. So a while later, I said, I want to come out to the house and just talk to him. Just want to meet him. Jody and I, it turns out, we were in the same kindergarten class. Rockport Elementary School. And of course, we moved right in the middle of my kindergarten year, so we didn't grow up together. We just found out we was in the same class. So anyway, I met Steve and talked to him, and he was just a working guy like most guys. And then I began to talk to him about the Lord, and he said to me, I'll never forget it, he said, Mike, he said, I go to sleep most nights asking God for help. And I said, tonight's the night that you can ask him for real. So Steve prayed the sinner's prayer, his house that night. And I remember when we baptized him. And there was a song that the Gaithers sang at that time. They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. We played that song, and and there for a while, if you've ever heard me say, like on Pastor Mike Online, I'm going to open up a can of King James on this, it came from Steve. Because he got into a little conversation with somebody at work that they went to another church, and they used all these other Bibles, and they started, and Steve said, oh no, it's King James. And they're going, no, it ain't. And Steve said, well, I'm going to open up a can of King James on these people, I can tell you that right now. That's where I got it from. And somebody sent me a can with a label on it that says King James. With King James' picture on it. And after a while, I could tell he was struggling. That threefold cord is not easily broken. And one time I talked to him, was out at his house. I could smell the alcohol on his breath. And I knew. And I tried to encourage him, tried to tell him to hang in there. And at some point, you just kind of have to step back and hope that things turn out better. But with him, they didn't. And for a while, he tried to drag his wife down into it with him, down into the pit that he had dug for himself anew. And your Bible is right in what it says. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that here in a minute. But how he ended up after him spending some time in church was worse than it was before. Far worse. And I always had, it got to bad where Jody finally said, I have to separate myself from him. He lost his job because of drugs. Lost everything that he had, penniless. And the drugs and the alcohol and everything else just destroyed his body. And he's getting around on a walker. Now this guy was one of the strongest men that I knew. And it reduced him to becoming a crippled up old man before he got old enough to be a crippled up old man. And I prayed, God, bring him back around. And Jody sent me a text last Saturday that said, Steve died. And I went, what? Fentanyl overdose. That's that drug that cops, it's the reason why they put gloves on now, Cubby, when they go to search somebody or their car, because just touching it can put a cop in a hospital in a coma. It's deadly. This is after I was with him. When he called me and he said, Mike, we need to go see my brother. He said, my brother got out of jail, went to my sister's house. She was snorting Oxycontin. He'd never done that before, so he went over there snorting Oxys, and he's in a coma. So I went up to St. Anthony's while they've got him in a coma, not sure, breathing for him, not sure if he's going to come out of it, and he didn't. He died. The drugs took his life, and he watched that. And you know, sometimes we think, boy, when people see how, you know, the wicked turn out, that'll straighten them up. He watched his brother die of a stupid drug overdose and then went and did it. That's that threefold cord I was telling you about. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. That Bible's right. So, you want to get out of church. You want to get out of church. You want to get away from your Bible. You want to quit praying, talking to God. It won't work. It won't work. That's the wrong move. There's been too many people that's tried that, and it doesn't work. It turns out worse for you than you ever were before. Verse 11, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, now remember this threefold cord. Look up here on the screen, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. So, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And in this aspect, God left this open for us so you can understand there's multiple applications to this. And when I get done preaching this part of it, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to give you another threefold cord that'll hold on to you when you can't hold on to yourself. You'll need it. You'll need it. And there's a story in the Bible. I can't wait to preach it, but it's not time yet. Threefold cord is not quickly broken. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I'm looking, listen, everybody sitting here. I've been doing this a long time. I've been in church most of my life. In fact, the largest majority of my life, I've been in church. I've seen people come in and stay, and I've seen people come in and leave. And what you're not, I'm going to give you all the promises of God, that God will love you, God will hold on to you, God will keep you, God will bind you to Him. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I love being yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love it because where I want to go, I don't get to go because I'm yoked to Christ. He won't let me. But I know what sin is capable of doing in somebody. We all know it. Because you know a Steve, don't you? You know somebody that used to be in church. You know somebody that used to have a Bible. You used to know somebody. You sit in a Sunday school class. You grew up with people that you went to church with, and they're not in church now. And more than likely, they're about as far away from God as you can get. In fact, farther than they were before they started coming. Lamentations 1:14, the yoke of my transgression is bound by his hand. They are wreathed. That means it's that threefold cord wreathed together, braided together, and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, for I am not able to rise up. I know some of your story. I know some of you. Some of you used to drink, and you could outdrink anybody. Some of you used to cheat around, whore around. Some of you used to do drugs. And, you know, you do that stuff for a while, and to just walk away from it, that don't happen. You don't just live that kind of lifestyle one day and wake up and say, you know what, I'm done with drugs. I'm not going to take any drugs anymore. Devils will climb all over you. They want to keep you in bondage. They want to hold on to you. And they're not going to make it easy on you for you to leave. Father, help me to preach this message. The one Steve that I cared about, I loved him, and you saved him, and he's in heaven now. The other Steve, I don't know. And God, I do not. God, please, don't let me give anybody a false hope. Because, Father, I know what that'll do. They'll think they can go out and just do anything. And that ain't right. You gave us enough warnings in this Bible, God, so that we ought to know what happens to the wicked. And we ought to know what happens to the righteous. And we ought to know the difference, who is who. So God, I'm going to preach this message. And Lord, you touch whoever you want to touch. Speak to whoever you want to speak. But God, I just got a feeling that there's somebody out there that is seriously thinking about start playing games with their soul. And God, I beg you, God, talk them out of it before it's too late. Because it is worse with them than it was before they ever started going to church, reading the Bible, praying. It's worse. God, warn the sinner today and uplift the saint, I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, very quickly, that's what I preached a couple Sundays ago, lust of the flesh, fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, wine, strong drink, drugs, both illegal and prescribed. I don't care if they make marijuana legal. Legal is not right. It's legal to drink. Ain't right to drink. laziness, idleness, gluttony, filthy communications, cursing, taking the Lord's name in vain, lust of the eyes, pornography, covetousness, materialism, too much television, YouTube, Netflix, video games, pride of life, ownership, trophies, awards, love of money, boasting, racism, lying about others, gambling, political aspirations, climbing the company ladder, fraternal organization membership, and on and on and on. See, the devil would love to plant you in a Bible-believing church and have his three hooks in you so he can use you to destroy that church. You think it hasn't been tried? And the devil will put just enough false, see, the Bible calls them false brethren. They pretend to be brethren. They pretend or under a pretense of salvation. But it's not there. It's temporary. And they're still bound by the threefold cord of their old sins. And so the setup was to destroy Jody. That was the setup. To destroy you. And use your husband to do it. So, let me read to you some things about that. I'm going to give you this part first, and I want you to understand what I believe.